This is not the way Christmas ought to be. Nobody thinks Christmas ought to involve face masks, social distancing, not leaving our homes or seeing loved ones. And I'm not making a political point or saying that the government's done the wrong thing, but none of us think that this is the way things ought to be. We see people dying in hospitals, desperately lonely, worried about their jobs and income, struggling with mental health issues. All of us know this is not the way things ought to be. And yet it's not just the pandemic which makes the world the way it ought not to be. Jack Vokes is a 98-year-old who was one of the first to receive the Pfizer vaccination. And he said, "I live in hope that by the middle of next year, we'll hopefully be living a normal life." And yet Jack Vokes has cancer. Remove the pandemic, and the world is still not the way it ought to be. There's death, there's sickness, there's disease, there's conflict, there's violence, there's destruction of the environment, there's greed, there's hatred, there's selfishness, bullying, self-harm, drug addiction, homelessness. The list goes on and on. And each of us knows deep down that the world is not the way it ought to be. And the whole point of Christmas is that the world is not the way it ought to be, but that God has done something about it. And that's why so many Christmas carols sing of the joy of Christmas. God came down to earth to deal with the fact that the world is not the way it ought to be. So this Christmas Eve service is not just a moment to escape the grim reality of which surrounds us. It's a time to come and engage with Jesus, who is the ultimate answer. And the key to why Jesus is the answer lies in three names or descriptions. He was given in the reading we heard Gracie read, Matthew's account of the angel's appearance to Joseph. And those three names or descriptions are Christ, Jesus, and Emmanuel. So let's start with Christ. That description of Jesus comes in verse 18. And in that verse, Matthew says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about." Now, Christ is the same word as Messiah. One is Greek and the other is Hebrew. And they mean anointed one. So what this is telling us is that Jesus is God's king. For over 1,000 years, prophets had spoken of a king who would come, who would rule with justice and righteousness, who would love and care for his people, and who would bring about peace. The ruler would rule the way a ruler ought to rule. What verse 18 tells us is that Jesus is that long-awaited ruler. Jesus showed us what sort of a ruler he is by loving those around him and loving God. He showed us how things in our lives ought to be in his teaching. He showed us how we ought to relate to one another in the way he cared for the vulnerable and for outcasts, in the way he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. He showed us all how we ought to relate to God by loving and obeying him in all things. If we want to know how our lives ought to be, we need to look to King Jesus. He is the only one who has ever lived life the way it ought to be. And the reason why the world around us is not the way it ought to be is because our lives are not the way they ought to be. God created the world perfect, with mankind living in a right relationship with him, with others, and with the environment. But instead of living our lives in a right relationship with the loving God who made us, we push him out and we don't give him a look in. He is the God of the universe who made us and loves us and wants what is best for us. He deserves our complete worship. But we ignore him. And for much of our lives, we treat him as though he were dead. Well, what are the consequences of saying to God we don't want him to have his rightful place in our lives? Well, the consequences are that our lives are not as they ought to be, and the world is not as it ought to be. And so what has Jesus Christ come to do about it? What difference does God's king make? Well, the shock is that King Jesus didn't come to establish his rule with political power and with military might. He didn't come to force us to worship God. He didn't come to massacre everyone who failed to live for God. He established his rule as a king by dying for us and rising to life again. After living the life that we ought to have lived, he established his rule by dying the death we ought to die for our rebellion against God. Jesus is a king who lays down his life for his people. And that brings me to the name which the angel told Joseph to give to Jesus. Verse 21 will come up on the screen. The angel said to Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." I wonder how you would complete this sentence. The world is not the way it ought to be because... .. What would your answer be? Well, we see God's answer in verse 21. The world is not the way it ought to be because of sin. If God is the all-powerful creator of the world who loves you and me, we ought to love him and live our lives for him. Sin is not loving and living for God the way we ought. So how does God complete the sentence, "The world is not the way it ought to be because"? His answer is because of sin. The world is not the way it ought to be because we do not love and live for God the way we ought. And that has affected all of creation. Christmas is all about God doing something about the world not being the way it ought to be. Verse 21 is a game changer. Jesus came to save people from their sins. God has come down to this messy world to deal with the cause of the mess. Jesus lived the life we ought to live, and he died the death we ought to die in our place. He was the ultimate substitute. In the Football World Cup final in 2014, Germany played Argentina. And the German manager substituted Mario Götze for Miroslav Klose, those German pronunciations, hey, 2 minutes from the end of normal time. The substitute, Götze, went on to score the winning goal, which won Germany the World Cup. Now, you might say, if you're being rather harsh, that Götze scored the goal which Klose failed to score. But more seriously, Jesus is the ultimate substitute. 2,000 years ago, he came onto the field as a substitute for all who trust in him. He lived the life we ought to live. He died the death we ought to die so that we can be saved from sin and death. Christians have nothing to fear about physical death because Jesus has lived and died for us. He has done what we cannot do for ourselves. By dying and coming back to life, Jesus has proved that we have nothing to fear from physical death. And one day Jesus will return to earth and establish his kingly authority over everything. He will make all things new, that the way they ought to be. But in the meantime, as we face the grim reality of the world which is not the way it ought to be, God has not left us on our own. And that brings me to the final description of Jesus in our passage. Verse 22 of our reading from Matthew says this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." God had revealed his plan to deal with the fact that things are not the way they ought to be hundreds of years before. Isaiah was the prophet who spoke some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And verse 23 quotes him: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. God is not a distant God, but he came down from heaven that first Christmas to be with us. He didn't live as a wealthy, powerful human king ruling in some posh palace surrounded by guards so that no one could get close to him. He was born into poverty. He lived amongst real, normal people. He knew hardship. He knew rejection. Although innocent, he was put to death in the most barbaric way by humans like us. And after rising from the dead, he still had the scars of his suffering. And he is in the throne room of heaven now as one who knows suffering, who knows that what people have been going through in 2020 and what we are struggling with now. Jesus may not be physically with us in the way he was that first Christmas, but if we're trusting in him, he has taken up residence in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. Jesus remains our Emmanuel, God with us. He keeps us, even in our lowest and darkest moments. He comforts us as we live in a world which is not the way it ought to be. And day by day, he helps us live lives increasingly the way we ought to live. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel's birth that first Christmas was a turning point in history. We all hope that the 8th of December marked a turning point in the battle against coronavirus. On that day, the first Pfizer vaccinations were administered. Dr. Shukla was an elderly man and one of the first to have the vaccine, and he said, "It's very important you have it. It's wonderful. And the way it's been produced, all the work they've done, it's the best vaccine you could ever have." He was getting carried away, and rightly so. But the first Christmas marked the biggest turning point history has known. So much so that our forefathers set our calendar to zero to mark it. The Pfizer vaccine may or may not be the best vaccine you could ever have for a coronavirus. But more important than receiving the vaccine is receiving all the work that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, has done for us. The world is not the way it ought to be. Your life and my life is not the way it ought to be. Sin is like a disease which destroys. But the good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ lived the life we ought to have lived and died the death we ought to die, so that if we trust in him, we will have eternal life. He is, as it were, the ultimate vaccination. When we put our trust in him, he dwells with us by his Spirit, keeping us and helping us to live in the world which is not as it ought to be. And one day he will return and make all things as they ought to be, without death, mourning, crying, or pain. He will make all things new. So I want to invite you this Christmas to recognize that the world is not the way it ought to be, and things in your life are not the way they ought to be. Jesus invites you to say sorry and trust in him, the God who gave his life for you. Why not say to him that simple prayer this Christmas? And a great way to think further about that would be to come and do a Christianity Explored course. And Will will be telling us a bit more about that later. But if you are trusting in Jesus this Christmas, may your heart be filled with joy as you celebrate his birth. May you know him as your Emmanuel, God with us. May you know that he dwells in your heart by his Spirit. May you know that he is keeping you. And may you know his help and comfort as you live in a world which for the time being is not as it ought to be. And as you seek to live in the way you ought to for his glory. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are a king who came not to crush us, but to save us from our sin. Please forgive us and help us day by day to trust in you as Saviour. May we know the reality of your presence with us, keeping us and comforting and helping us to live for your glory. Amen.